You can never, ever ask God for too much. Let me say this to you. Our prayers can never strain. Let me say it again. Our prayers can never strain the resources of Almighty God.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. So it's great to have you tuning in today as Pastor Bill continues his study in the Epistle of Ephesians. Pastor has titled today's message, And Do This. Now, Pastor.
Make sure you have your coffee, donuts, whatever you're having. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. We're going to begin in verse 14. And as we conclude this last doctrinal section in this great epistle, we do so with the second prayer found in Ephesians of the Apostle Paul. Without a doubt, it is the deepest. It's taking us to heaven, loved one. It's deeper than any prayer imaginable except the Lord's Prayer. In John 17, that high priestly prayer of Jesus. But this is a masterpiece. And boy, the Holy Spirit praying through the Apostle Paul these incredible truths. You know, we left off with, remember, Paul stopped praying in verse 1. The Holy Spirit wanted him to go back and reemphasize the great truths found in chapter 2, verse 11 and following. And now Paul, after he did that, meaning the Jew and the Gentile becoming one new man, now he does something. He is no longer pausing. He begins his prayer and resumes it right now. Remember that Paul the Apostle is praying from a prison cell, loved one. He's praying there in Rome for the Gentile believers in Ephesus, but also for all generations throughout history. And most of our praying, mine, yours, all of our praying, has to do primarily with our physical needs, the material needs. And there's never a time, there's never anything wrong about praying, asking God about the needs that we have. However, in this prayer, Paul prays not really anything for himself. He prays for the Gentile believers. He prays for all the generations, literally. And he's not talking about material possessions. He's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about renewing the greatest need in our life, and that is our inner man and so forth, what we need more than ever. He also is praying that we, and also the Ephesians, that they might not only know, but experience, loved one, what truly belongs to them, what truly belongs to us, our incredible wealth that we have in Christ Jesus. Title this morning of this sermon is, It Is Time. Let's begin in verse 14. Paul the Apostle, now on his knees, he's praying. He says, For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What reason now is Paul doing so? It's because of the Jew and the Gentile becoming one new man. It's because of God's eternal plan. It's because of everything that we've studied thus far. And he says, For this reason, I bow my knees. Now listen carefully. Very important this morning. There are many postures of prayer in the Bible. And they're all, any way you want to pray, really. You know, you can sit and pray. You can stand and pray. You can be on your face or you can bow, whatever. But the customary style or posture of prayer in the time of Paul, in the time of Jesus, was that of standing. The Jew would stand and he would lift his eyes and his hands up to heaven and he would pray. And Jesus in Mark 11:25 said this, and whenever you stand praying, he said, if you have anything against anyone, you forgive them. It says in Luke 18:11, Jesus with the parable, he says that the Pharisee, he stood with himself and prayed. It says the tax collector would not even lift his head up at all, except say, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am a sinner. But listen carefully now. Nearly every time in the Bible, when you find someone bowing or kneeling in prayer, It is to those who their heart literally has forced them to kneel. It's intense praying. It's filled with deep urgency. It's filled with incredible emotion. And that is the prayer that Paul is praying. Listen, he is in prison. He's on his knees. I don't know what the guard thought that had him chained to him or not, but I'll tell you this. When he bowed his head and he got on his knees, he was filled with deep, overwhelming emotion for the Gentiles, for everyone who would believe upon Jesus Christ, that this prayer would literally become theirs in their life. Now listen, to bow before God in prayer is to worship the Lord. It's to worship the only one in the entire universe who can answer a prayer. It's a fitting word for the days that we are living in right now, not only across the world, but in our nation as well. It says when Jesus was in the garden in Luke 22:41, he withdrew himself about a stone's throw. And listen to what he did. He knelt down, he got upon his knees, and he prayed. That was deep, overwhelming, passionate, intense prayer. Whenever they stoned Stephen, in Acts 7:60, it says, and Stephen, he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, "O Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And then he fell asleep. That deep prayer, the last prayer, the same prayer that Jesus prayed from the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In that great scene in Acts chapter 20, I think it's verse 26, when Paul the apostle is talking to the Ephesian elders and he's getting ready to board a ship. And they know that they're never going to see Paul ever, ever again. It says that Paul the apostle knelt down with them and they prayed and they all wept freely. That's the kind of prayer that we are talking about this morning. And I'll bring the conclusion of that prayer and how powerful it is in just a few minutes at the end of the message. But look at verse 15. Paul praying, and he says, "Oh, listen, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." God is the creator of every human being. He's the creator of everything in the world. But listen carefully. Verse 15, when it says that the whole family in heaven and earth is named, it's not teaching the false doctrine of universalism, where, you know, everyone eventually, no matter if they die or what, everyone will all be saved and reconciled unto God. That is not true. There's one family, and it's the family that has been born from above and filled with the Spirit of God. It's God's building. It's God's home. It's God's house. And that's who we are, loved one. And it's made up of redeemed, purchased people, if you will, from every color, every race, every nation. And they are in heaven right now, and we're in union with them, and they are on earth right now. There is one family, and we belong to it. God has no other family but one. The church, God's greatest masterpiece. That's who we are. I pray you never forget that. We're the church. Listen carefully. We are the church. We are the body of Christ from which Christ Jesus governs the entire universe. That's who we are. And that is what put Paul on his knees, that deep, intense emotion. And it should put every believer on their knees. Now, Paul is going to pray. He's going to make four requests unto God the Father. And they're like stair steps, if you will. They build upon one another. And they, to me, they reach all the way to heaven. And I'll tell you something else. These great prayers, these four requests, there's no other way to build or prepare for the things that we're facing right now. We find them right here. So chained to a guard, he continues to pray, and he says in verse 16, Paul praying that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Do you pray like that for your friends, for your brothers, for your sisters, for your family? Man, what an incredible prayer. Paul just said, oh, Christian at Ephesus and Christian here in Fort Worth, all around the world, he said, you possess right now the riches of his glory. Listen, the riches of God's glory are unlimited. They're without boundaries. oh, the resources of God are overwhelmingly, they're unlimited. No, listen, Calvary, listen to me. This is not the time that we should be timid when it comes to asking our Father which art in heaven. You can never, ever ask God for too much. Let me say this to you. Our prayers can never strain, let me say it again, our prayers can never strain the resources of Almighty God. You look at our nation right now that we're praying for, that we're interceding for, and I know that you are. They need masks. They need gloves. They need supplies. They need more rooms. They need the PPE, the personal protection equipment, for all of our doctors and nurses and health workers. There's not enough ventilators. If you go out here to buy groceries now, you know, especially if you're a senior, I don't know how they're doing it other place, but they make you stand in line so far apart, and they let in only a few people at a time. That's what we're facing right now. But God's resources, loved one, can never be exhausted. And we have His resources right now. Believe that. That's the truth of God's word. Listen, God, man, all God has to do is just simply speak. He doesn't have it. He can just create it. His unlimited resources. But the key here, it says, is to be strengthened with might or strengthened with power. How? Look at it. Through His Spirit. And where does He want to strengthen us at? In the inner man. Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit, saith the Lord. No, you possess right now the riches of His glory. You have divine power in your inner man. And it is time, loved one, right now, the greatest thing that you can do is start renewing your inner person. Man, I mean, get into the Word of God and do it right now. That's so important. And, you know, there's no limit to God's power. Philippians 4:13, you know, what did Paul write? He says, I can do all things. I'm equal to all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's present tense continuous. It means every minute that strength is available, never ending. It's always there. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Listen now, may we, the glorious, forever triumphant church of Jesus Christ, let us never walk in weakness. This is a time, right today, right this minute, for us, loved one, man, for the church to rise up, for the church to be strong in the power of His might. And the reason is because we can. We have what no other religion can offer. We have power within. We're the supernatural family of God, and we are living right now in the midst of a terrified world and a terrified nation. But my Bible and your Bible teaches us in 1 John 4:4, that greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. Ephesians 6:10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, not yourself, in the Lord, and in the power of His might. We have nothing to fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Jesus makes strong people, and He lives in us, and a sound mind. Verse 16 says, our inner man needs to be strengthened every day. Listen to me now. I hope that you're not watching just consumed with TV. I understand you want to know what's going on and you want to know what's happening. I respect that. But listen, you need to be, if you're going to feed yourself that, you're going to be discouraged and overwhelmed and sad and maybe fearful. Loved one, listen, the Bible is very, very clear that, you know, that we need to be empowered, strengthened in our inner man, and our inner man will not be empowered unless you feed him. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore do not lose heart. Don't faint. Don't quit, Paul says. He says, even though our outward man is perishing, and that is a given fact, he says, but our inward man is being renewed day by day. And the only way that that's going to happen is for you, for me, to renew our minds to the Word of God every day, every moment. That's what we need to be doing. There is never a time when the church should say, I'm going to faint. I'm not going to make it. Never. Power for the inner man is always going to be our greatest need. Listen, we need spiritual strength, of course. And we need spiritual strength certainly more than physical strength. You know, to keep our bodies going, we have to feed ourselves. To keep our spiritual life going, we have to feed ourselves spiritual food. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, it says, "And do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Ephesians 4:3 says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Now listen, we are not of this world, nor will we, the Church of Jesus Christ, be conformed to the methods of this world. Never. We belong to the Lord. But the inner man needs every word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And when we feed ourselves on the word, something happens in our heart. Remember John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is the Word who needs to fill our hearts. Look at it in verse 17. Paul praying that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Man, now listen, that's not speaking of when you're born from above. The Ephesians were already born from above. So this is different, loved one. To dwell means to settle down. The word dwell, settle down, to be at home. It means literally a permanent, perpetual, unbroken habitation forever and ever and ever. It's never ending. Dwell in our hearts, the Lord, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Jesus says in John 14:23, it says, "If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home." We'll dwell there. We'll live there. Make our home with them. Now listen, the word dwell is a beautiful word for a Christian to dwell in Christ and Christ to dwell in me. We are in union one to another. Nothing, absolutely nothing, not death, not sword, not peril, not famine, nothing, created things, nothing, angels, principalities, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus said in John 15:4, he says, "Abide in me," or literally, "dwell in me, and I dwell in you." In the high priestly prayer of our Lord in John 17:21, Jesus said, "Father, that they all," meaning us, "may be one, even as we are one." Paul prayed that the presence of Jesus Christ would be real in the Gentile believers, the Ephesians, and for us as well. Is Jesus real in your heart? Do you know it? Have you experienced the realness, the here-ness, the now-ness of our Savior? That's exactly what Paul says. And how does that work? It says through faith. Faith worketh by love, Galatians 5:6. Faith is the energy, loved one. It expresses itself. When Paul the Apostle said in Galatians 2:20, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ." It's like a co-crucifixion. Paul says, "I'm dead, I died, I've been crucified with Christ." He says, "It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I live, I now live in the flesh, and I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It's that love, loved one. And it says, and he's praying that you may be rooted, grounded in love. When Jesus lives in us, when Jesus dwells in our hearts, that is when we are become rooted and grounded in love. Agape, the love of God. Agape is like the soil. It says there that we're rooted in his love. That's like a tree that's, man, just deeply, deeply planted. It says we're rooted, grounded in his love. That's like a foundation, if you will, and they have those deep 300-foot piers or whatever and so forth. That's what he's saying. The Bible tells us, it says in Romans 5:5, it says that this hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given unto us. Now listen, depth and strength That is deep love. That is strong love. I encourage you to read the parable about Jesus in Luke 6:47 about the man who dug deep and laid the foundation and the storms came and all the rest of the things, but his house didn't fall. Why? He was on the right foundation. The scripture teaches us in 1 Corinthians 8:1, it says that knowledge puffs up. It's prideful. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Love edifies. You know, knowledge, loved one, doesn't have any emotion, but love does. Love is always greater than knowledge. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, remember, in 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men, angels, and I don't have love, I am become nothing but a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all the mysteries, have all knowledge, and though I have all faith, that I can remove mountains. But if I don't have love, Paul says, we are nothing. It is only when we are walking in love, loving one another, when we are rooted and grounded in the agape of God, that we have any spiritual capacity to understand the next verse. Verse 18, it says, Paul praying that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, that scripture is deeper than I know how to teach. Listen, the word to comprehend, a better translation would be to apprehend. That means to take something, take a hold of something, and make it your own. And the word to know there means literally knowledge that is gained by experience. Do you know that God wants you to experience the love of God, the love of Christ? Now, when Paul wrote this prayer here, loved one, listen now, this is not our love for Jesus. This is Jesus' love for us. He says, what is the width? You know what? There's 19 million commentaries that'll tell you what that is. I'll tell you my own commentary. Not that I have one, but if I had one, this is what I would say. What is the width? What cannot be measured. You can't measure God's love. What is the depth? Well, it cannot be measured. What is the length? It cannot be measured. What is the height? It cannot be measured. Why? Look at the scripture. It says, for the love of Christ passes knowledge. God's love for us is so deep, so wide, so high. Oh, loved one, so wide. How in the world can our finite minds truly comprehend it? But we can. Listen now. It passes knowledge, but it didn't pass away out of our heart. That's where the love is, in our inner person. Amen? See, this is not head knowledge. This is heart knowledge, to love one another and to understand that He loves us. But the next part in verse 19 is deeper than I know how to even, I can't even get a grasp on it, loved one. Look at it. That you may be overflowing, that you may be saturated, that you may be filled with not part, but all of the fullness of God. Everything He is yours. All of His fullness. How do I even get a grasp upon that? Our entire being filled not only with the presence of God, the power of God, the love of God, the goodness of God, right now. That is a powerful, unbelievable, so overflowing that there's nothing left. No more room for anything else. You see, the word fullness there in the Greek is pleroma, the pleroma of God, if you will. That means the totality, the whole fullness, the full measure of the Godhead. Listen, don't live like a mere man, a carnal. No, listen, we are new creations in Christ.
Pastor Bill will conclude this message on Love Never Fails tomorrow. And we do hope you'll tune in again. Amen? We appreciate you listening along with us today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.